Good morning again. And happy Sabbath. The Lord had to work with me. I wanted to do a sermon on Esther. And the way that I was going to do it, He said no. So I was amiss as, Lord, what am I going to do? And then one night, He gave me His outline. And I will share with you what He shared with me and how He was able to guide me and show me what He would have for me to present to you today. The times that we are living in the present, is calls for extraordinary measures, even when you approach the throne. We hesitate to say as usual because we are living in the time that conditions or signs of the times are happening. President Obama declared recently that never in the history of this country has there a situation where neither side will give in. You remember just what, last week or two? When I took a course in democracy, I had an understanding of how the system worked. It has built-in checks and balances for times such as these. Now, for the first time in history, the government had a stalemate. That reality opened many people's eyes, each side determined not to give in. They had held firmly to their positions before reaching a point where the debt ceiling was a hand they did not want to play at that time. By far, we are not out of the woods yet, as my father would say. I visited my son last week in Atlanta. He works for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and he was involved in the furlough or the week of losing 2 weeks' pay. I asked him how he felt about what had happened, and he said that the situation had put him through a lot of trauma. They had cut his last check, and they had already had them to take off days in which they did not get paid for. He found himself in a position that he had to go to those fast loan places. You know who they are. I call them legal loan sharks. He had to borrow money from them. Now he has to pay them back. So it's as if he's not going to ever really get caught up because he has to pay that back before he could really pay the bills that are piling up. He felt greatly traumatized. And to think that this may happen again in January. Brothers and sisters, we are living in dire times. God is preparing us for such a time as this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. For if it were not for you, we would not be here this day. I pray that you will let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be of you and be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the book of Esther, God had given us a beautiful story of love and loyalty. Esther was a Jew, but Esther was a Persian name. Her Jewish name was Hadassah. This was during the reign of Medo-Persia after the Jews were released from Babylon. The Jews had over 100 settlements in Persia. Hadassah lived with her cousin, whom she called her uncle. She was the daughter of Mordecai's uncle, who was a Benjaminite. Mordecai raised her as if she were his own daughter after her parents died. They lived in a small community near Shushan, the citadel, the throne of King Ahasuerus. One day, King Ahasuerus, also called Xerxes, had returned from a year-long battle. It was his custom to give large parties, they called them banquets in those days, when he returned from battle. One particular day, the king called for the presence of Queen Vashti to come to his party to show off her beauty. It is evident that the king loved beauty. The castle was so adorned with gold and jewelry and all types of fancy things that it was exceedingly beautiful, and also was Queen Vashti exceedingly beautiful. To the surprise of the king and all the court, Queen Vashti refused to obey the king's request. The court was outraged. How can she do this? Why didn't she do it? Vashti had to be dethroned. Her crown was taken away from her because this type of attitude could not exist for fear that the other wives would become rebellious against their husbands, such as Vashti. So a decree was made to find a new queen. They went throughout the kingdom, taking young virgins, especially the beautiful ones. Hadasha was taken, but before she was taken, Mordecai had told her to not to reveal her true identity and to use the name of Esther. It took about a year-long process of preparing the women for the kings to choose the next queen. They had to go through all the rituals of soaking them in different oils and perfumes and all the delicacies that would make them even more beautiful. When the king returned from war, again he held his banquets. When he saw Esther, he thought she was the most beautiful and decided that he would make her the queen. Evidently, Esther's uncle Mordecai must have worked in the courts, for one day he heard of a plot to kill the king. Such a time as this, he immediately sent a message to Esther to tell the king. After investigating, the two men were put to death. It was during this time that the king promoted Haman to be second in command, and he also told the people to bow down to Haman. Everyone bowed to him except one person. Guess who that was? Very good. That was Mordecai the Jew. That's what he called him, Mordecai the Jew. Haman developed a great hatred for Mordecai and the Jews to the point that he drew up a plan that would kill Mordecai and all the Jews in his province. The king approved the law because Haman had donated a very large amount of money to the king. When Mordecai heard about what Haman had done, he started fasting and dressed in sackcloth, pouring ashes all upon himself and going throughout Shushan. When Esther found out about it, she tried to send him some clothes, but he would not take the clothes. He sent back a message to her that she needed to tell the king that she was a Jew and that this law would have her people and her killed. At this time, Esther had not been summoned by the king for almost 30 days, for she could not go to him when he called her. If she had gone unsummoned, she could lose her life. In Esther chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, if you would turn there in your Bibles, Esther 4, 13. I will be reading to verse 16, where Mordecai is telling Hathach who was the interceder between Esther and Mordecai, God's word says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Such a time as this did Esther set into motion her plans to tell the king. She went to the king, and he reached his scepter out to her and said in chapter 5, verse 3, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." Now, Esther knew this is what he tells everyone, so she didn't get that excited, but she had a plan. So she said in verse 4, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for you." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom." "It shall be done." Then Queen Esther answered in him in verse 8, "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said." By this time, Haman was fed up with Mordecai. When he returned home that night after the banquet with Queen Esther, he told his wife and 10 sons how he hated Mordecai, how he walks around the court, and when he passes him, he never bowed down. Well, his son and his wife told him, "Well, you second in command, build a gallows on which to hang Mordecai." So he did that very thing that night. That same night, the king could not sleep at all. For some reason, he was just wondering, what did Esther want to tell him? And he thought about the times that Esther got a message and saved his life. So he took the Chronicles, and he remembered that it was through her, and in rereading the records, he could not find a record where Mordecai the Jew was rewarded for his bravery for telling him about the plans of being killed from these two men. So he was wondering, what can I do to honor this Mordecai the Jew? Haman came in the next morning, and he called to Haman. He asked him, "What would you do for a person that you wanted to honor?" And Haman, thinking that he was thinking about himself, he said, "Well, I'll put him on the king's robe, on your robe. I put him on the crown and put him on your horse and have him paraded around town. The king liked that idea. So Haman was given the task of leading the horse around with Mordecai the Jew, wearing the king's robe and crown. When it was time for Queen Esther's second banquet, the king sent for Haman to come to the banquet. The king finally asked Queen Esther what she wanted up to half of his kingdom. At that time, she just broke down crying, telling him all about the whole story of the possibility of her being killed along with her people, the Jews. The king was really taken back by the gravity of everything he had heard. So he stepped out onto to the queen's court, trying to clear his head. But at that time, Haman took the opportunity to grab hold of her and begging her to help her. And guess what? At that very moment, the king re-entered and saw Haman with his hands on her and accused Haman of attacking the queen in his presence. So immediately he called for the guards and he said, "What shall I do with this Haman that's trying to kill the queen?" And so someone that has seen Haman building that gallows suggested hang him on the gallows that he has built for Mordecai. The king could not change the law, which was already demanded for the annihilation of the Jews, but Haman was hanged on that gallows that had built for Mordecai. But instead, he passed another law that empowered the Jews to be able to fight back when they were attacked. And what really happened, some of the people were so scared, they became Jews. And so the story was ended very clearly. But here, what the Lord wanted us to see was such a time as this. All through the history of mankind, God has put his people in very unique places for such a time as this. When God called Abraham to leave his father's house and to go to a land he would show him, God told him that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him, that within him all the families of the earth would be blessed. It was such a time as this when Rebecca went to the well to draw water and gave a stranger water to drink, then gave the camels a drink of water. She became the wife of Isaac. For all this was the fleece that Abraham's servant made with God to find the wife for Isaac. It was such a time as this that Jacob wrestled with God all night and became Israel and had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. It was such a time as this that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and he became second in command in Egypt. It was such a time as this that God told Moses to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. It was such a time as this that God told Joshua to march around Jericho for 7 days, and that seventh day march around it 7 times, then blow all your horns. The walls came tumbling down. Praise the Lord. It was such a time as this that David, with a rock and a sling, slew Goliath, a giant. It was such a time as this that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him may not perish but have everlasting life. It was such a time as this that we, brothers and sisters, have to realize that things are happening, and they're happening so fast that today I come before you. Today we have signs of times happening that earthquakes, tornadoes, fires, floods, and other natural disasters have become almost commonplace. We are not as shocked when we hear about what is happening with the weather. We are not as shocked when we hear what is happening in our government. We are not as shocked when we hear what is going on in some families. We are not as shocked when we hear what is happening with our children, especially in human trafficking. Broad is the road and gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road and gate to eternal life. Many people have the majority, for we live in a democracy where the majority rule. But I am so glad that I am in a minority. Within a couple of weeks, we are going to have a church meeting. We will be updated on our plans for our new church. We will have decisions to make. We ask that you make our church body part of your prayers. Pray that we will be able to stand against Satan's walls. Satan will try to divide us, for he knows that this is his best weapon: divide and conquer. Pray and fast if your health permits, that God's will be done for Aiken's new church. God has given us a vision of a new church. It's back there on the wall. He can make it happen if we put our trust and faith in him and not in ourselves. He may do it a little at a time, but everything will be done according to his will. He has cattle on thousands of hills. We cannot sit back and be passive. Ben Carson, the neurosurgeon whom God has made famous worldwide, wrote a book entitled Think Big. We need to think big because we have a big God. God is on time, and God is gracious. It may not be when we want it, but it will be right on time, because he's planning more people to come. I know somebody had asked me, we build this big old church, who's going to be in it? It's only about 50 of us attending. But we know that God is preparing people at this moment to come. We went out and passed out studies, and we have, Wilhelmina and I have about 10 people that we are talking, and they are seeking, and they're thirsting after righteousness. And not telling, we have about, I want to say, 8 more people with groups of people that they're studying with. God has people out there that we need to go out and reach for his sake. God has answered our prayers. When we prayed for a pastor, we set up our prayers time sensitive. You remember? Within 3 months, a decision was made, and the pastor was in Aiken that fourth month. Whereas many other people, it took them years before they get a pastor. We have an awesome God we serve. In closing, in such a time as this, we need to turn up the heat and not be content with being lukewarm. What did he say he would do if we are lukewarm? Spew us out of his mouth. Now, therefore, I feel as though we should not be content as being just lukewarm. We need to turn up that fire. We need to get more involved, even in just prayer. Sometimes prayer is so wonderful. That's why they say, pray without ceasing, whenever it suits you. And I know God can answer prayers. And we know God can answer prayers. And in fact, I told Pastor Al that he is one of my living examples that God answered prayers, because we know what he's been through. We almost been through it with him, because God has him with us today. But we know the devil tried to snatch him away. So God wants a church, a body of people who will stand up for him. The girl who was shot in the Columbine High School shooting in Colorado some years ago confessed her love for Jesus and was shot. Just this week, a teacher gave his life for his students when faced with an armed junior high school child student. Are you willing to die for the sake of just one? Jesus is. We must stand up for him regardless of the circumstances. For such a time as this, we need an anchor. We need a savior. Be very sure where you plant your feet. Plant your feet on the solid rock of Jesus. As a reminder, the book of Jude states, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. For such a time as this, would you please stand while I pray? Father God in heaven, we stand before you, before your throne of grace, this Sabbath day that you've given to us. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for your word, your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who died for each and every one of us. If it was only one, he would have died for just one. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who instructs us and helps us to understand, thus says the Lord. You say, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened. We lift up our greatest desire for your Son's return to receive us. We pray for an outpouring of the latter rain, Father, and a new church that you have shown us. We hold up all the souls that you are preparing to follow into this church to fill it up. We thank you, and in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.